After Beth wins her second tournament in Cincinnati, Alma asks to be her agent. Beth accepts, and together they embark on a rule-breaking mother-daughter buddy adventure tournament tour. In the montage, Alma gleefully lies to the school while applying lipstick, inventing illnesses for Beth as she decides which outfits to pack. The two of them jet around from city to city, wrangling excellent upgrades and eating at restaurants. In fancy hotel rooms, Beth goes over her games while Alma lounges on the sofa in a slip, enjoying a cocktail and laughing at the TV. The convention-flouting swagger of it is especially thrilling as Alma realizes she's free from the whole 1950s domestic trap. At tournaments, star-struck young boys clamor for Beth's autograph and her approval. One nerdy kid tells us he started a chess club. It has been established that Beth is a genius, and a genius gets to do whatever she wants as a rapt world cheers her on, right? The tragic tale of the doomed girl genius is a perennial favorite. In literature and film, the male genius is lionized. The famed genius is institutionalized. This is just how it goes. These stories reinforce the idea that a woman can either be a genius or be loved, happy, sane, free, not because she threatens the male supremacist power structure, or so we're told, but because there's no place in the world for an anonymy like her. Even sympathetic narratives show how this is true, reclaiming the genius from obscurity, as in the case of Hidden Figures, or depicting the nearly impossible trial she had to go through to be acknowledged, as in RPG documentary, or not acknowledged until it's too late, as in Bombshell, the Hedy Lamarr story. Nobody cheers for the girl genius while she's out there being a genius.